Turn your Bibles to page 897 if you're using the Pew Bible. It's Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to start reading this morning. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's page 897. It's really interesting when we look at this, there's a couple of other analogies that came to mind as I was thinking and processing through. What does it look like to have victory, especially in an age where it seems like all we do is live in defeat? Do you sense that? That there's times and seasons where we just feel like we're constantly living in this defeat? When the truth is, we can live in victory even in the midst of feeling like we're in bondage. Because we don't have to live in bondage. The culture and the world wants to keep us, you know, down. It wants to kick us down while we're down. But God wants us to live victoriously. I think about the scene, if you've ever seen the movie Cool Hand Luke. And Paul Newman is Luke, and all throughout the movie, he is the Christ character at the center. And he does these things to help the prisoners experience freedom, even though they're still in prison. And it's a reminder, again, that those chains can come off, and you might feel like culture is just surrounding you. You might feel like the world is just, again, kicking you while you're down. You might feel like even you are slave to your circumstances. But even in the midst of all of that, Christ can win the victory in you. You believe that, church? That's the whole point. Really, to be honest with you, that's kind of the whole point of this whole series. Proclaiming victory. So here we are in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read this for us, starting at verse 8. It says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light." So live as people of light. So live as people of light. Thank you. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determines what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. What are we exposing? We're exposing the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. It is shameful even to talk about the things that the ungodly people do in secret. And again, remember where Paul is writing this from. He's writing from Ephesus. We talked about it, I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. We talked about Ephesus being the center of demonic activity, the center of all that was wrong with the world. It was like the pit of utter despair when it comes to people. And he's talking about how shameful it is even to talk about the things that the ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Amen. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't make, you know, dirty things shinier? Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, that sounds nice, doesn't it? We want dirty things to look shinier and look prettier. But he wants to take the dirty things in our life and he wants to destroy them and make them brand new, not just shinier. Isn't it great that when we read throughout Scripture that God doesn't want to just restore things, he wants to bring dead things back to life. Dead things back to life. He wants to breathe his resurrected power. He wants to breathe his resurrected breath into your dead bodies so that we can live victoriously and we can live resurrected. That's what he wants to do in us. It's so funny because if you couple this passage with John and we look in the first chapter of John, what does it say? It says that the light was breaking into the world. Now, who is the light? Jesus. Jesus was breaking into the world and he was bringing with him light. Light that was going to shine on everything. Everything was going to be shined by his holy light. Shone, maybe that's the better word. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine because this will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this series not because I think you all are addicts, not because I think you all are insane, not because I think you all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups even. We're in this series because there are principles that you can use to navigate this God-awful world. These are principles and things that you can hold on to that are just helpful. They're just helpful. Helpful ways for you to navigate through when you do experience life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. If you've never been hurt, I hate to break it to you, but you probably will be at some point. And when we do experience that hurt, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to have the tools to be able to navigate through that? That's what this series is all about. It's about educating us as a congregation that there is a whole world of people that are not just, they're not just dying. They're not just dying and experience death, but they're living and walking around us but have no life. You have looked into the eyes of people at the grocery store, and you have looked deep within them, and you can see that there's no life because they haven't gotten to the place of understanding that Jesus is their light and that he wants to fill them with his holiness. And those of us have gotten to that place, boy, don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. Keep allowing his resurrected breath to breathe into you today. Principle 5 is where we're at. We're halfway through the steps. Yay. We're halfway through the steps. Principle 5, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. Boy, that sounds like a really good thing that we should do. Doesn't it? Lord Jesus, search my heart, O God. Find any wicked way in me. Isn't that what the psalm says? Search my heart, O God. That's what this principle is indicating, that we need to allow God access. And we need to voluntarily submit to change because God wants to make that change in us. The scripture that we hold on to with this is Matthew 5, verse 6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. We've discussed the fact in other translations, it's thirsting and hunger for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. So here we are. Step 6 is what we covered last week. We're going to do 6 and 7 this week. Step 6 we covered last week. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I called this last week the sanctifying step, right? This is a step where we're saying, listen, entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. It's saying, God, don't just search me. Don't just search my heart. I need you to do surgery. I need you to cut out the dead pieces because death produces death. I need you to cut it out in me. And it's going under the knife. And I'll just be honest with you. It doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always feel good. But we know that perseverance produces what? Going through trials produces perseverance. And perseverance must complete its work because it builds character. And I know it's like, this is like the part where sometimes you lose people because they're like, oh my word, I got to go through this in order to get to that. Well, no, it's you're going through that just because that's the way life works. We lost our perfect status in the garden. And earth was not and is not operating the way that God would have intended it. Thanks, Adam and Eve. And so now we're here picking up the pieces. And we're still navigating this journey. So here we are at step 7. Step 7, since this is a new step, I will encourage you to say it with me. Let's read this together. We humbly asked him to remove all our shortcomings. We humbly asked him to remove all our shortcomings. 1 John 1:9, would you say this with me? 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Aren't you thankful for that? The goal for today is for you to experience victory. Whether that's new victory, victory for today, victory for the moment, victory for a lifetime, or it's being reminded that you have experienced victory and you're called to continue to live victoriously. Victory is the theme. So we're going to jump right into us to this. If you have your cards, did everybody grab a card when you came in? Do you need a card? Anybody need a card? If you need a card, we're going to have, Chris is going to jump up. Larry's going to help him. We're going to grab some of those. Just keep your hand up, and we'll look for that, and we'll get that to you. So let's say we have a couple. Good. So our acrostic for today is victory, and the V stands for voluntarily submit to every change God wants me to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. So the first thing we need to do is we need to voluntarily submit. So the good news is Scripture communicates to us through Romans 12, verse 1, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is our spiritual act of worship. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know what the hard part is about being a living sacrifice? We want to crawl off the altar, right? You know, when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, it means going to Christ's altar. It means that something's got to die. And as his human inhabitants, we like to sometimes just wiggle and crawl right off the altar. But it says, offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship. It doesn't say that worship in this case is singing notes or to playing an instrument. It's a spiritual act of worship, which means allowing yourself to go under God's knife. So we start this process by doing the I in victory, which is identify which character defects that you want to work on first. Let me just ask you this, it's a rhetorical question. I want you just to think about this. But if you were to write down on a piece of paper, you just started writing hurts, where would you start? If you started to write maybe shortcomings that you have, or maybe if you wanted to write down like sins that you struggle with and you haven't allowed God to have victory over those, where would you start? What would you write down? That's where we need to start. Because each one of us could write a list of hurts, habits, and hangups. We all can. And I'm not saying that we need to continually live under that oppression of sin where we're constantly feeling like we can't get victory, because we can. But the way that we get victory is that we allow Christ to be the one who does the work in us. You see, that's the beauty of sanctification. Sanctification has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. It's submitting to his will in our life. It's placing ourselves on the altar and saying, I want to be a living sacrifice. And it's believing and knowing that he can and will and does give you the power to overcome whatever that is. Whatever that sin is, whatever that experience is, that God has the power and he will give it to you, and you can proclaim victory over that, even today. So falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does. Falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does. God doesn't want us to just admit our wrongs. That's a part of the process, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't want us to just admit our wrongs. He wants to make us right. He wants to make us right. He wants to give us a future and a hope. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about God is he wants to finish the job. He doesn't want to just forgive us. He doesn't want to just forgive us. He wants to purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, the difference is between what you can do on your own and what God can do on his own. You need to ask God to shine his light into the darkest areas of your life and give him that access. So let's move on to C. I'm moving kind of quickly. So when we look at C, we move on to C, which is allow God to change your mind. Allow God to change your mind. When we allow God to change our mind, we get to experience the victory of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is
gone.
Ooh. Let's try that one again. The old life is
gone.
The new life has
begun.
The old life is gone. The new life has begun. There are so many people that have experienced that victory in their life that this is their life verse. This is the verse that they hold on to and they proclaim. And they say, you know what? The old is gone. Behold, I'm a new creation. Romans 12 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That word transformed there, you've heard me explain this a number of times, and I can't ever not share Romans 12, 2 without saying this, but that word transform is the Greek word metamorpho. Now, what does that sound like? Metamorphosis. This is where we get the English word for metamorphosis. So when we look at this, it says, let God metamorpho you. Let God change you. It means to change your identity. It means to change your function. It means to change your nature. You are no longer the same. It's like the caterpillar crawling on the ground one day, climbs up on a stick, and then wakes up in the morning a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. But the DNA of that butterfly is nothing in association with when they were a caterpillar. And you know, a lot of people believe that the butterfly didn't even remember that they were once a caterpillar. They just woke up one day and they started pushing out the chrysalis and all of a sudden the wings sprouted and they flew away and they were like, hey, this is cool. All right, I can dig this. I mean, it's amazing if you think about the metamorphosis means the old has become new. And God says, I want to do that transforming work in you. And I'm going to start with your mind. That's why, what's the first thing when we look at the armor of God? What's the first thing that we put on? The helmet of salvation. Now, you would think, and I've seen people put on armor. Where do they usually start? With their feet. And they usually work up. And they put all their armor on. And the last thing that they do before they go out into battle is they put their helmet on. But God says, and Paul instructs us, that the first thing that you put on when you're fighting a spiritual battle is the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? Your mind. What is it connecting to salvation then? Is it connecting it to our heart or is it connecting it to our mind? The helmet of salvation is protecting our mind. So I know I'm blowing your minds a little bit right now, but just go with me here. Because God is saying here, I want to transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. By changing the way that you think. See, God wants to change more than just our behavior. Again, a behavior is a part of it. But a behavior, changing a behavior is like, it's like winning the battle but losing the war, right? The war isn't just to be a changed person because you've changed your behavior. It's to be a new person. Changing, like, think about your kids. When you have kids, you can address their behavior. But the real battle and the real win is when you have hit their heart. That's where you see change really begin. You can adjust a child's behavior, but it doesn't mean it's penetrated their heart. It's the same thing when we think about the battle versus the war. If all we do is we go to God when we need a behavior change, guess what? He'll change our behavior. But that's winning the battle. What we're talking about is winning the war. And the war is saying, God, don't just change my heart, change my mind. Change the way I think. Transform me. I'm going to be made new. See, changing behavior is like trimming weeds. Have you ever seen anybody like trim? I'm going to confess to you right now. Yesterday, I ran over weeds with my lawnmower. I didn't want to get down and pull them out. And I was like, it's almost the end of the season. Who's going to know? and I just ran those suckers over. So you know what's happening right now? As I speak, as I'm standing before you, that weed is in the ground going, guess what, bud? You know, hey, check me out, right? I'll go back and that weed will be 4 feet tall, laughing at me. Because when you think about weeding, it's never enough just to pull it out without getting to the root. If you don't pull a weed out from the root, that weed is going to come back. We know this, right? That's why we need, God wants the root. God doesn't just want to cut us off at the top. He wants to dig down deep. He doesn't want the ugliness and all of the hurt. He doesn't want that stuff to grow back. He wants to take it out from the root and dig it out. And that's exactly what I had to do yesterday. I was weeding for a little bit, and I pulled one, and it just kind of popped. And then that little white thing was staring at me, laughing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I, oh, no, you don't. I dug down in there and pulled out the root. And I showed it to the top half of it. Look at that. We have the weeds, and I have a love-hate. Well, no. We just have a hate-hate relationship. God wants the root. So the next question is, how then? How do we allow God that access to get to the root of what's going on? Well, we do the T in victory, which is turning your character defects over to Jesus Christ. Turning your character defects over to Jesus Christ. Turning all of it over to Jesus Christ. It's interesting. My kids have done this, and I think about how often I did this with my dad. And I would typically break things, like a lot, right? And so I would end up breaking this toy or whatever it was, and I would just like offer my meager portions to my dad, you know? And I'm like, ah! You know what I mean? Like, I broke my toy, fix it. And my dad would take this pieces, like all these like little pieces of a toy, and he would start methodically putting them back together. But inevitably, there would be like one piece that was still like errant, you know, was still missing. And my dad would come to me and he would say, you know, son, I can't fix this unless you bring me all the pieces. I can't fix it. I can't fully put it back together unless you bring me all the pieces. And so what do? We start searching, right, for all the pieces. And I laugh because Parker and I, we do this. He'll come to me and he'll be like, you know, fix this. And there's times I look at it, it's like, you know, it's like a 1,000-piece puzzle, you know, and I'm just like, all right, bud. And we start putting it back together, and then we get to the place and I'm like, oh man, I can't, you know, there's a piece that's still missing. And so we get on our hands and knees and we search for it until we find it all. But doesn't that sound like our relationship with God? God desires to fix us completely, to make us whole. But we have to be willing to take all the pieces to him. We have to be willing to say, Lord, fix this. And we take all of ourselves to him, all of the brokenness, all of the hurt, all of the habit, all of the hang up, and we say, God, fix this. And here's the best thing. God's the one that made you. He's the one that's got the instruction manual. And he's not like, page one, you know? He's the one that can put you back together. But we have to be willing to take all the pieces to him. Don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back. So when we do that, we experience this incredible promise in Psalm 55:22. It says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. This is a promise in Scripture. This is one of the many promises that God makes in Scripture. You can hold him accountable to this verse. You can say, God, you told me if I bring all my burdens to you that you will take care of me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Because that is a prayer that you can pray to God. Hold him accountable to his word. He loves that. It means that you're taking him serious. It means that you believe that what he said in his word is true, that if I cast all my cares upon him, then he will care for me. If I bring all my burdens to him, then he'll take care of me. He will not permit the godly to slip and to fall. Turn all the pieces of your life over to Jesus. I love this quote from Martin Luther. This is a phenomenal quote, and I can't believe I have not heard this before researching for this message. But this quote from Martin Luther is great. I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. That's a good word. That is a good word. I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. As we finish, I'm going to do the last three pretty quickly here in order to wrap this up. The O is one day at a time. How do we do this? One day at a time. Now I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here and then I'm going to come back to close us. So the O is one day at a time, because that's exactly what we need to do, is focus on one day at a time. The R is for recovery, which is understanding that recovery is a process. Recovery is a process. And again, one of the things that we've started to do is to use interchangeably with the word recovery is revival. Revival is a process. When we allow Christ to begin to revive us, to make us new, there is a process. Yes, can God do it instantaneously? Absolutely. But unfortunately, we tend to learn better when we go through it. Who are the best teachers? The ones who've experienced it before. So we go through this, and recovery is a process, one day at a time after one day at a time. And then the last one, why, is you must choose to change. You must choose to change. So I'm going to end with this illustration, because there are times, and I'll be honest with you, I completely forget the name of God. Well, I think sometimes we do that, don't we? We forget the name of God. We go, well, no, you just said his name's God. You realize in Scripture that God never said that his name was God. He said his name was I Am. I Am. And so there's times in my life when I have to be reminded of the promise in Exodus 3:14, where God introduces himself and he tells me and he tells you today that he is I Am. See, because God tells me that when I live in my past, when I live in my past with all of its mistakes, with all of its regrets, that life is really difficult. It's really hard. Now, I can take God and I can show him my past and say, you know, God, I need you to work in this and to forgive me and to forgive my sins. But God begins to pull me and he says that my name is not I was. God says my name is I am. So I realize I can't live in the past, because the past just doesn't help me to get forward. So I go over here to my future, and I'm going to live over here in my future, and I want to be able to say that this is where I'm going to live. I'm going to live knowing that the future is ahead of me. But then all of a sudden, I begin to get really nervous, and I get scared because of all of the unknowns. There are a lot of problems over here. Life is hard over here. There is so much unknown sometimes that I can be overwhelmed by the unknown. But then God begins to pull me back again, and he says, my name is not I will be. He says, my name is I am. So that's where we find ourselves today, right here, right now, this moment, one day at a time. It doesn't mean that life that is experienced right here does not have its difficulties. But I don't allow myself to be overwhelmed by the stuff of my past, and I don't get caught up in being fearful of the unknown of my future. Because as this is where God holds us, and he says to us, my name is not I was, and my name is not I will be. Even though both of those are true, amen? But he looks into our eyes right now in this moment and he says, my name is I am. He looks at you and I as he did with the disciples in Matthew 14. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I am here. And then in Matthew 11, we're reminded and encouraged to come to him. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's what I need today. I need to allow him to be the I am in me. Allow him to be the I am in you. He says, take courage, for it is I am here. Would you stand with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we were reminded from beginning to end of this service that you are. And that you desire, Lord, for us to experience great victory in our lives. We thank you for the promises that we can hold you accountable to, that if we bring our burdens to you, that you will care for us, that you will protect us, and that you will not let us slip and fall. But Lord, the work that we need to do is to take all of those pieces and place them in your hands, just as a small child would place the broken toys in the hand of our fathers and say, fix this. Lord, that's what we do this morning. We just humbly come before you. And Lord, those of us in this space that have experienced a great victory, help us, Lord, to be able to point others to you, the healer. I'm thankful that you were. I'm thankful that you will be. But I am especially thankful that you look at me today and you look at us today and you say, I am. I am. And now, Trinity, I encourage you just to hold your hands out and to receive this blessing, this benediction over your week today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.